Please go ahead. Floor is yours. Thank you. Go ahead, Fed. Thank you, Salsabil, and thank you to all who are with us today. And thank you, Dr. Hanan, that you are here present with us. Doctor, I wanted to dive right in very quickly. And my first question to you is, you had a main role and you took a huge part in the volunteering in the 70s, and then you participated in the fight and also building the Palestinian civil society and the independent human rights organization for Palestine and all that you have done for the Palestinian cause. My question for you, how do you define the Palestinian unity in the Palestinian context? Thank you very much, Fadi. Seriously, this is a very important question. Thank you for presenting me in this beautiful manner. And I indeed am very happy to be here with you. And I find that there is a very big importance that there be a discussion and a conversation between us than having it as a lecture. So this is very engaging, and especially since we are two different generations, but we have something that really does indeed combines us, and even we embody unity even with the differences. You are a generation, I am a generation. We are working in different aspects. Just 1 second. So there was an attempt, and I say it is the essence of the Zionist project was to erase the Palestinian presence, the identity, the rights, and also burying it, taking us out of the context and replacing us as a people, as a culture, as an identity, as a narrative with another people. So this wasn't just an occupation, it was a colonial occupation and robbing everything Palestinian. This was not successful even with all what they did in 1948, but what they did was the dividing of Palestine 47 and 48, and then displacement, and then all those who were displaced, and those who ended up in 1948 and in the apartheid, and then the 1967, including the West Bank and Jerusalem. But then we have seen that they have, so then we have seen that they are dismantling and defragmenting and trying to eliminate anything that brings together the Palestinians, the elements of unity, meaning if we were dispersed and displaced everywhere around the world, and the different suffering, the occupation, the discrimination, the displacement would change the way we think and our vision and how we see ourselves. However, something that I see, the different diversity in Palestine and all of these attempts to defragment us, to defranchise us, but it made us more insisting on what unites us, not something that makes us defragmented. Of course, there are other issues that we have, political defragmentation and everything, but Palestinian presence is built on the identity and the definition, not on the superficial level, but the continuity, the sustainability, and our loyalty and commitment, and linking it and connecting it to our future, because we have our future, we have our vision, we have our values that we work on. Many people are now talking about the values of right, the freedom, respecting the human dignity. All of these issues, all of these values are a motif, is kind of a narrative that is with us at all times, despite all of the attempts to take us out of the historical context and the land itself. So the Palestinian people has always been celebrating its diversity. We have never had a monovision. We were never sheep. We were never a nation of sheep. We always have differences in opinions, political differences. We have negative aspects, for example, economically suffering and classism. And right now, you have the different geographies and the differences of suffering, but we have this loyalty and this vision that creates being rooted, not just being on our land, but also rooted in our identity, meaning a Palestinian out of historic Palestine is still rooted in Palestine. So the narrative that we are all knitting together is a unified, a united narrative and discourse, even if we had different opinions politically and otherwise, but we identify and we see each other. We know what it means, not just in the history and the suffering, but also with our vision to the future. By saving our children's future, our grandchildren's future, with our knowledge that we as a people refused not just the eradication and the erasement and the marginalization, but we refused to accept defeat and to bring in or to accept that we have lost, just as the Americans have told us to accept defeat, and we told them we refuse this, even if we are displaced and everywhere, but we are completely convinced, we have full conviction of our cause and to arrive to success. This is the framework that I want to talk about unity. It is the one that we use all communication, context, terms, and concepts to arrive to the realization of these ambitions and to take in these differences and to activate them, because the Palestinian value definition is built on this collection, not the defragmentation that they have tried to impose on us. And we refused otherwise. Now, the absence of unity is something else regarding politics and so on. We have a very difficult phase horizontally and vertically between the leadership and the people. And also vertically, because we have differences in the presence and in the suffering and the type of injustices that we face and endure. So I want to be optimistic and say, no matter what happens, the Palestinian people has been able to maintain this unified framework with different means and methods and to use all of our strengths and powers to create a future. And someone said in the uprising or the intifada of May 2020, it was clear that no matter your political affiliation or faction or geographic location, but your Palestinianism is your definition, and it is what drives you to exist with the Palestinian people. I agree with you on this definition and unity that is bigger than the factions and the divisions and the social, but it is secondary. Because when all the Palestinian people want to work towards victory and liberation, we all work together. And there is something important to add regarding the youth and the optimism and positivity that you are talking about, Doctor, when someone meets. So there were meetings with liberation groups in South Africa or in Vietnam or in Algeria or in Latin America. And many of them regard the Palestinian experience and the occupation's attempt to defeat us is a huge success. So when we look at ourselves in a negative light as Palestinians, we might look at ourselves in a negative light, but those who see us from the outside see us in a different light. And what happened last year in May in Sheikh Jarrah, we were able to show that as a people, we are able to show the occupation strategic surprises, even if it were for small moments. And no one expected that it would have such a huge and immense impact. The occupation is still trying to understand what happened in May last year and how to stop it. That's why they increased their surveillance, the amount of assassinations and arrests and detention, so as to prevent what happened last year so that it would be a storm of change. But Doctor, I have a question that I would like to ask you regarding this subject and topic, which is regardless of the positive points that we have and our Palestinian ability to be unified and the diversity in Palestine, but the institutions that exist right now, and especially the political institutions and their inability to unify and to work strategically for the goals and objectives that we have agreed on, as we mentioned. And the question is, how, in your opinion, can we move toward unifying these institutions and unifying the political work so as to become one hand to work together to weaken occupation and to move closer towards liberation and freedom? Yes, indeed, Fadi. Regarding the Palestinians, we used to have one umbrella, which was the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. It was our umbrella that respected and represented all the diversities of Palestine and unified the Palestinians everywhere. And we felt that as long as we have the PLO, which was the umbrella or the address that, as Yasser Arafat said, has the right to decide for the Palestinians and represent the suffering of the Palestinians. So we felt that we have this framework, this representative that protects us. But unfortunately, after the signing of the agreements and Oslo, I don't like to call it Oslo because it is a declaration of values, and it agreed to deal with the fragmentation itself. It didn't even treat the land as one unit. It was able to divide the land, Gaza and Jericho, and then it adopted the phases. So I don't want to talk about all of these problems that occurred, but it was working towards dealing with the Palestinian people administratively as populations, group populations far away from self-determination. And it attempted to kill the PLO. And unfortunately, many who have worked with this program weakened the PLO, which was the umbrella that we were all under. And they have contributed to making the Palestinian Authority be more important than the PLO. And the PLO was marginalized. And it was an administrative program and not a rights program for the self-determination of the Palestinians. So this is the framework and the structure. I don't want to say to revive, but we want to develop. We don't want to go back to the past, but we want to develop, to respect the other and to collect all the Palestinian identities. And this needs a will for interventions to develop and to reform, especially with the developments that have been happening, even under occupation, because we are still under occupation in historical Palestine. the elections, for example, is one of these means for the collectiveness to arrive to collectiveness, to arrive to a unity, since we belong to the Palestinian democracy. But unfortunately, in my opinion, this is not capable to represent, but even to deal with the Palestinian people in a way that it is, that is understanding, that would ensure its rights. On the contrary, there is a huge void between the people and the leadership. So there needs to be some kind of intervention. One of these interventions, not just through new elections, and we were hoping that the elections would create a new reality, but it would catalyze the spirit of the youth, the two or three generations that were not part of the decision making, the young women and men who should have been those who lead the political movement. But unfortunately, there was regression. There, many freedoms were taken away that were not for the unification, but led to the deconstruction, defragmentation, and the disintegration that we are talking about. And this is the lethal role that happened. Now, I want to ask you a question. I used to always intervene and tell you when you would be detained, and I would help take you out of the Israeli prisons. So this was my role. So you as youth, and I always appreciate the spirit of the youth, their ability to intervene, to challenge their spirit, this spirit, this energy, to read the reality and presence. How can we activate it? How will you be activating it? I always say, we don't want to take your role. We want to support you. I don't want to nominate myself, but I will help with the election campaigns for the young women and men that have this energy. So how can these youth enter, not into the system as it is, but either to give new concepts or develop concepts, or maybe come out with new issues, causes that would serve these people that feel that have no safe place to go, no safe haven to go, regardless of what I said, that I have trust in the people wherever they exist, because I am seeing the struggle in and resistance in everywhere it exists, not just what happened in 2021 in Sheikh Jarrah in Jerusalem, but we are following in cyberspace, in the virtual world. We are all there, and we have discussion, and we have collective discourse, and we see how they are using all these energies to be part of the struggle and to be part of creating this future. Go ahead, Fadi, and answer. First of all, I would like to thank you again. Perhaps three times you helped me come out of detention, of Israeli detention and prisons. Your question is very important. And what we are thinking of as youth, first of all, when a person uses the word youth, they think they are a one unit. But there is a lot of diversity in youth. And this is something beautiful and important for our cause. But since the 3-4 years and the different youth groups or the active persons in political work, there is a discussion which is close to what you are mentioning. How can we renew the Palestinian struggle in a strategic manner and method to resist occupation, and how to rebuild the Palestinian institutions, especially the PLO, to be a Palestinian body that represents the Palestinians around the world? Now, in our discussions and work as a youth, there are two schools for this subject. One school says, or a way of thinking, says, to recalibrate our cause to the right course. We have to work towards and push towards an election for the PLO. And here we are thinking of Estonia, for example. All of their elections are electronic. So someone can create something electronic for the 12 million Palestinians to elect their representatives in the PLO. But when there is a strong election system, then we can choose those who will represent us and hold elections for the PLO, either with the approval of the PLO leaders, if they really do believe in this, or without their approval, and creating a new generation with this work. And then those who are elected would represent the Palestinians in all the places that they are there. And then we create a strategy. And so some people are suggesting a new method. Some people are saying the PLO, even though it's important symbolism and its historic role and how important it was to present the Palestinian people and cause and unify the Palestinians today, according to the reports, even reports that come out of the PLO itself, the PLO is very weak and change is very difficult. So perhaps it would be better to create a new movement that are decentralized. So this is an important question. Not centralized, that coordinate together intelligently, smartly, outside of the framework of reforming the PLO. Now, as youth, what we discovered through work is that the Palestinian people, especially the young generation, want to work. Last year, with the events of Sheikh Jarrah, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, have come out to work. So the energy is there, but the youth are saying they want clear steps to go from the stage that we are in right now to go to another one, because many people are done with the uprisings or the activities or actions that are happening and are not built upon. The last point that I want to add, so this is what we are thinking today. We want to build a strategy and go on that path. But there is another way of thinking that is being thought of by all Palestinians, such as what is happening in Jenin. We saw the martyr, Ibrahim in Nablusi and Arin al-Us and in Nablus. So we are seeing youth groups that are working in different ways, in either in armed resistance or civil uprising. But what we are hearing is that the youth are not surrendering. No, the youth are trying to use the small resources that they have to challenge this occupation. And this is what is happening. What is happening in the Palestinian street, there is a vicious attack to destroy any kind of Palestinian activity or activism. This is what we are seeing from the assassinations and the human rights organizations that are being labeled as terrorists, and the attack in the West. If anyone does anything for Palestine, they are labeled as anti-Semitic, and also in Germany, where there is a gag order against the Palestinians who are working there. So sometimes the Palestinian Authority, or the authority in general, instead of supporting the youth, they are supporting, the authorities are supporting the occupation to silence the youth. So my question to you, doctor, what is your opinion? Rebuilding the PLO, the youth, according to your historic experience, do you advise the youth to build a new structure instead of these ancient structures, or to revive and restore the PLO through elections. What do you think? What is your opinion? This is a real dilemma because I too am thinking with the youth the same way. Not just restructuring or renovating, but and also reforming and developing the PLO to keep up with the present and the future and the demands that we spoke about, and to give space to the youth for them to be in the leadership positions and the decision-making positions. Because I have seen historically how difficult it is for someone to build a structure and institutions that has the legitimacy and to represent the Palestinian people. This is not easy. And because I was raised on the values of defending the PLO, and we challenged the world with this. You remember how we were not allowed to speak to the PLO. We were not allowed to be affiliated to any political faction. The flag was not allowed. This was a challenge for us. So from my core, from my essence, it is hard for me to see the PLO in this situation, because when I agreed to be a part of the executive elections, so I was part of it from a feminist point of view, because you were the only woman. Yes, they insisted that I be in the elections to challenge the patriarchal and traditional society. So I nominated myself as a challenge because the women revolted against some decisions that were made. So I was thinking, with all of the years that I was part of the PLO, can we really change from the inside? But I saw that all the vitality or all my energy went to working and trying to work in the PLO, because there were many obstacles to overcome. That's why I resigned, and I saw that it would be better to resign and to give space for elections for the youth. Also, it is not wrong to think how you can enter this institution through real democracy, through real elections. We once discussed the Arab Spring, and we saw how it's easy to obstruct something. So you saw the systems in Iraq and in Libya, but when the system collapses, who can bring people together to elect? Because it's not enough to work in the virtual world. We need actual work on the ground so that voices can be heard, so that there be a popular base that would be a mirror, or there would be connection between the base and the diaspora. So if this did not happen, because if something collapses, it's not easy to rebuild it. And there will be people who will not allow something to rebuild. The West, America, and the European Union were saying it is not allowed to talk about the PLO. In the previous negotiations, we were threatened. But we would say we are here upon the request of the PLO, to represent the PLO. Now, it is not easy for me to see what it has come to, the PLO. However, the collapse of the PLO would serve other interests, and to replace it with institutions that provide services and etc., and not a collective framework for everyone or umbrella for everyone. So that's one point. Secondly, you have a complete political system that holds the values of the past, the revolution and the fighters, but is there a readiness to deal with what the future requires? No, there isn't. Now, how will you bring, as you said, not all the youth are in harmony. There is a lot of diversity. Some of them are in different movements and reflect the destructive thoughts. The PLO used to say, we work according to the democracy, but when it's work categorically and how the categories were more important than the national causes and objectives and goals, that's what's dangerous. So I think things need to be studied. If it is possible to maintain the value and the essence and maintain the identity and at the same time hold elections and to change what is there, then that would be great. If we are not able, I left the organization, but I did not leave the board, although I'm not invited anymore. And I wrote that I am very proud to be a part of these representative boards. However, the executive role was part of the executive board. So it is very important, at least if we are not holding on to it as a framework, not as an essence, then perhaps we can think of a collective framework where there are people who are willing to work, but you have to have a replacement. In the Arab Spring, because they weren't ready to take on the authority, look what happened to the youth and to the women, like in Egypt. They were able to get rid of the system, but who then took over? Those who were on the ground, who were able to organize themselves and to go to elections. Now during the electronic elections and to reach and access all the Palestinian people, we need to have work that we should have, work that has been prepared. You need to be organized and to arrive at a real program, to real visions and objectives, to present persons who are accepted, who have honesty and transparency, and legitimacy came from fighting. You don't get legitimacy by sitting on a chair and saying, I think. No, you would have revolutionary legitimacy. But now you have different kinds of struggle that gives legitimacy. You have the youth of Jenin and Nablus and Hebron, and others from different generations, like those in Silwan. We have the legitimacy that stems from being a part of facing all of the oppression that the occupation is putting on us. So this legitimacy needs to be set to select the persons who will be in the leadership, meaning what does it take to be a leader? This is a different discussion, but you raised a very important question. Those who are doing these uprisings, and I agree with you, they should be accumulative. We don't hold them responsible to ask them to keep going, but the Palestinian people have different uprisings. And I always say we are not done with the intifada, because no one is agreeing to the oppression, to surrendering to the occupation, to the erasing of the identity. We are all struggling in different methods and means. But as you said, how can this struggle create quality change and to use it to create a new reality, either with a new framework, but we need to be very careful, or through the activation of the best of what we have. Indeed, 100%, the legitimacy of the struggle is very important, because we see the battlefields are not where new Palestinian leaderships are created, but there is also Palestinian unity, whether in Jenin or in Silwan, or even in the diaspora. We are seeing that when there are battlefields against the occupation, all of the Palestinian youth and Palestinian institutions and organizations are together. This is an important lesson for us Palestinians. When you want to face and to engage with the occupation, with all kinds of available struggle, then we are unifying. And perhaps this is a very important message. Sometimes a person shouldn't just focus on unity to then fight. Sometimes when we fight and struggle, we create unity. And this is something that is, this is a very valuable lesson that we have seen throughout the 2 or 3 years. And regarding the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, there is another important dilemma. The INSS and the University of Tel Aviv, they wrote a report in 2010, and they discussed how the national work and the Palestinian cause, what is the fastest way to defragment it and to disintegrate it? And they found the best way forward with this is to attack the PLO, that would make it an institution that would employ people and does nothing. And the Palestinian Authority would be the one that is controlling everything. So strategically, they want to weaken the PLO. And what we are seeing today, unfortunately, because there is no election and there is no real legitimacy or a building of real legitimacy for those in the PLO, there is a difference between the PLO that are represented for the Palestinian people, and there are those who are set in certain positions without any legitimacy that do not represent the Palestinian people. And I believe this is the challenge in front of us as Palestinians that we are facing. How will we be working for the next year, for the next year, as there are huge political changes in the region, normalizing with Israel and the Arab nations? And until today, we do not know what will happen when Mahmoud Abbas passes away or is no longer president. So we hope that he lives on for many years, but a person doesn't know how long they will be living. So we don't know what will happen in the moment of a new intifada, or when the president passes away, or when a settlement is expanding. Perhaps it will increase the defragmentation of the Palestinian people on the ground, or their unity. There's another point that needs to be very clear in front of our eyes. The occupation is hoping that there be geographical, that there be not only geographic small populations that are isolated, but also politically isolated. One of the Zionist analyzers said that in Hebron, someone will be the leader of Hebron, someone else will be the leader of Jenin, and there is nothing unified in Palestine, but there are some important persons who are holding or controlling certain areas. And then the Palestinian cause for at least 20 or 30 years would be lost until we reorganize ourselves. So the challenge exists from outside and from the Israelis, and it's important that we be ready to turn the tables against them and to put new things on the table, to reset the table. Indeed, what you said is very important, because the objective is that if they do not erase us, they will be fragmenting us, and they will be small groups, and they will not be answering to Palestinian leadership, but to the occupation. But the Palestinian people rejected and refused all of these attempts. And it is also difficult for a person to think, who is the coming person? So personalizing issues is difficult, because during the days of the PLO and the revolution, it's true, the person was important because they were a symbol. Yasser Arafat was approved by all because he represented a certain era and the revolution. So I remember when they had him surrounded in the headquarters, and people from all factions and all kinds of people who were against him and with him came to him, and they demonstrated and they were protesting because they saw that it was an attack on the rights, on the cause, on the Palestinians. So they were with him. Now we do not have this grand person, this father. Our responsibility, and I wrote about this, we want to build real institutions that are built on the law, because you cannot replace a big, important chief person with another person who doesn't have this legitimacy and this background. This person will have to take their legitimacy from working on the ground, from their ability to fight in different ways. It is no longer just and only civil unrest and armed resistance. You have people who are in the 1948 areas, people who are working in the writing and so on. There are people who are going out in protests in 150,000 and challenging the system in the US are not very, and it is something that is not very forgiving when it comes to Palestinians, because they are labeled as anti-Semitism. But we have those who are willing to struggle. So we have to accept that resistance comes in different ways. And I'm seeing different names, and I'm working with the new generation because I would like for them to be, or I would like for my role to support them and to help them. Not as a mother figure or from a top down, but from the point of view to give them the chance and to not stand in their way. This is something very important. So facing and engaging is something very important that he faced. However, the attack on the people who are resisting here and trying, as you mentioned, and Israel to make the people surrender has failed. Haven't you seen that it failed? Even if the people aren't organized, even if the factions that are existing are too old and are not able to mobilize the people, people automatically are rising. Now, automatically is something good, but if it is not organized, then these efforts will be in vain. I don't want to go into military work. This is something that goes back to the military, but Israel will tell you that there are some who are not organized and who are. So that's why every time Israel sees someone doing something, they would assassinate them. So there are individual targeting of individuals, because however, regarding a political system, the dilemma is that we are living a stage of revolution, liberation, and armed resistance, and also building ourselves and also building a democratic system and a stage of giving the people their rights, even if they are under occupation, even when they are in the diaspora, to create the decisions that affect us. We have arrived at this stage because they focused on Abu Ammar, and then they said, who will be coming after Abu Mazen? No, why don't we have real elections through which these persons can come through and show they don't have to be supported? and not just the ability to access funds, but also the ability to access mines. So it is the harder path, but it is the better path. So yes, it is very hard, and Salsabil has joined us, and we have to finish this session. This discussion is very long, and there is something else that we have to focus on. We focused on the Palestinian Liberation Organization in the West Bank, but it is also important in upcoming discussions on the diaspora, what is happening there, especially and specifically in the refugee camps. The other issue is the people who live in the 1948 areas. And also, according to our resistance history, sometimes we would work on one place on the account of other places. For example, in 1948 areas inside of the West Bank or vice versa. So we need to think strategically and in a united way and how to work together. Thank you very much, Dr. Hanan. Thank you very much, Salsabil. Thank you very much, Dr. Hanan Ashrawi and Fadi, for the discussion that was more than amazing. And indeed, Dr. Hanan mentioned something very important that really stuck to our minds, which is we need to not focus on the individuals, but to focus on the theme of our summit, which is unity. So thank you very much, Dr. Hanan and Fadi. Even, dear listeners and followers, we would like to put another question in the chat, and I hope in the engage area or in the Q&A area. And I hope that you answer there, or you can tell us in the chat, what songs would you like to hear during the break? What music would you like to hear? Tell us what you would like to hear during the break. So we will now have a 10-minute break, and we will come back to our session, which is confidence and how it works on the movement. Thank you very much, and the mobilization.